Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And then from Matthew, the 11th chapter, these words of Jesus: come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am meek, lowly in heart and gentle. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The title of the morning message: blessed are the God molded. Blessed are the meek. Well, we know who the meek are, don't we? They're the mealy-mouthed. They're the mousy. They're the milquetoast people of the world. When I think of this verse, I think of an undersized defensive tackle named Jerry Clower, who went up against the behemoth tackle, offensive tackle at Baylor. They collided. He knocked Jerry down, pushed his face into the mud, and whispered in his ear, "The meek shall inherit the earth." And you just got a face full of it. But you should know me well enough by now to know that when I say there is an obvious meaning to the scriptures, the obvious meaning is not right. William Barclay, student of biblical languages, makes the point that the meek has a very different connotation than our idea of mousy and milquetoast. A meek person in the Bible is someone who is completely submissive to the will of God, someone who has completely surrendered to God's call, someone whose life is completely shaped by God's presence. Someone who is completely surrendered to God's will, completely submissive to God's call, that person has a strength, a talent, a power of personality that is extraordinary. But because that person is completely submissive to God, they use their power and their strength for God's will and not their own.
A host of scholars echo Barclay's analysis. A famous Old Testament scholar says the word meek really means God molded. God molded. A meek person in the Bible is someone who has been molded by God. A New Testament scholar says in the New Testament the word meek means a wild animal that has been tamed. A wild animal whose energy and talents and strength have been channeled in a positive direction. Saul of Tarsus comes against the people of Jesus like a wild animal, but the light of Christ knocks him down, blinds him, tames him, turns him into a disciple of Jesus Christ. He is meek in that all of his energy is now channeled toward God's kingdom. There are only two people in the Bible referred to as meek. One of them is the greatest Old Testament figure, Moses. Moses is the only person referred to as meek in the Bible. Numbers 12:3 says Moses was the meekest person on earth. Moses the liberator. Moses the law receiver. Moses, the representative of God, Moses, the most important and powerful figure in the Old Testament, was the meekest person because he was the one most God molded. And so he did great things for God. Only one person in the New Testament is referred to as meek, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "Come unto me, ye who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, and I am meek and gentle." With all of his charisma, with all of his wisdom, with all of his talents, our Lord could have succumbed to the tempter who bid him to use his gifts for his own aggrandizement. But Jesus was completely God-molded. He used all of his estimable gifts on our behalf. He poured himself out for us, even unto death. The greatest Old Testament figure, the greatest New Testament figure, are the only two people to be called meek, because they are the most God-molded. We can learn a lesson from that. A few years ago, I was reading a French translation. It translated this verse, "Blessed are the debonair." And I thought, that's a little odd. Blessed are the debonair. That's not what I think of when I think of meek. The debonair are carefree and lighthearted. Then I pondered those words. If you are truly God-shaped, if the force that molds your life is the will and call of God, then you are free from the concerns and prejudices of everybody else. If you are molded by God, you're freed from everybody else. Someone who is completely meek, completely God-molded, is indeed the freest person on earth. They are indeed debonair, light-hearted and carefree. I think of Thomas A. Kempis and his Imitation of Christ, where he says, "Develop a meek spirit." Because if you develop a meek spirit, then you realize everybody else is someone you can serve. Everybody else can be a teacher and a guide to you. When you are truly humble, you can learn from everyone. God molded people. God molded people. are people who have a sense that God's call is shaping their complete agenda. And yet when our Lord says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," he is plagiarizing. If you listen to Jeff's reading this morning, you realize that our Lord is recapitulating the teachings of Psalm 37, which says, "Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth." The whole flow of Psalm 37 is, don't be too concerned about the success of the wicked. Don't be too worried about the progress of the manipulators, the schemers, the controllers. They have no future. It is the meek. It is those who are God-molded, who have the patience, who have the endurance, who have the strength to survive. Don't be too worried about the progress of the wicked. They have no future. It's when you're molded by God. It's when you're shaped by the Spirit. Then you have the capacity to endure and indeed prevail. The great pastor Charles Spurgeon a century ago said, "The meek are an anvil. The manipulators, the schemers, they're hammers. The hammers hammer on the anvil, but the hammers wear out. The anvil endures." The meek are God-molded. They have the strength to endure. Spurgeon tells of an old Puritan pastor whose faith was something of an irritant to others. And there was a man where he was eating a lunch in a tavern who tried to engage him and took a beer and threw it in the old minister's face. The old Puritan just wiped his face off, didn't respond. Maybe he licked a little bit. The man was further enraged by that, threw another beer in the Puritan minister's face. He wiped it off, continued with his meal. And as the man was getting ready to throw the third beer, the old Puritan looked at him in the face with gentleness and kindness and pity. And before that countenance, the man melted, knelt at the old minister's table and asked his forgiveness. The meek inherit the earth. Bishop Desmond Tutu in South Africa at the height of apartheid would lead a small group of believers up a very insignificant mountain called Table Mountain overlooking Cape Town. They would go to a promontory where you could look out over the Atlantic Ocean and see Robben Island, the island that held Nelson Mandela and all the other anti-apartheid leaders. And Desmond Tutu knew that in the small group coming up with him, there were always secret police writing down everything he said, but every week he said the same thing. Do not despair. Do not despair. The love of Christ will eventually quench our nation's hatred. The peace of Christ will eventually prevail. And that old minister lived long enough to see the words of Christ come true. The meek inherit the earth. Our Lord says to us, come to me, all ye who labor, who are weary. I will give you rest. I will give you peace. Peace that roots in the power of love. When Adolf Hitler rode into Paris, having sent his troops in to storm the city, he looks out over the city as he comes in and says, "Paris, I have conquered you by force. I shall now conquer you with love." But he couldn't do that. He had no love. When Jesus rides into Jerusalem, as the Messiah. He doesn't come as a conquering hero. He doesn't come on a mighty steed. He comes on a donkey of peace. He doesn't come as an instrument of violence or a conquering general. He comes as a suffering servant. He comes as someone willing to endure even death on a cross. But he comes as someone supremely confident that God will vindicate his ministry with resurrection power. Jesus did what Hitler could not, establish a kingdom that wins people to it by the power of love. The manipulators, the schemers, the controllers, they're all about accruing and possessing. But when you accrue and possess, you leave no room to receive. Jesus says to us who seek to be God-molded, pour yourself out. Pour out your strength. Pour out your patience. Pour out your love. Be a blessing. Because the more you pour yourself out, the more you empty yourself to be a blessing to others, the more room there is to inherit the kingdom of God. The more we empty ourselves in love, the more we can receive. That's why the meek inherit the earth. Meekness is not lying. It's not a beautiful woman saying, "Oh, I'm ugly." It's not a talented artist saying, "Oh, I can't sing." It's not a brilliant person saying, "I'm really stupid." It's not lying. Meekness at its core is self-forgetfulness. Self-forgetfulness. When we are truly meek, God is at our center and we are at the periphery. God is our agenda and all of our lives are poured out in his service. That's what it means to be God-molded. Sometimes when I get frustrated that people don't grasp what seems so obvious to me, I go back to Jesus. I think of his last night with his friends, and they're sitting at the table, and all of his disciples are looking around at each other, going, "Which one of us is going to wash everybody's feet?" And Jesus finally realizes, even after all this time, they just don't get it. And he rises and he strips down and he takes his towel and he washes their feet. And Peter says, "You can't wash my feet." And Jesus says, "Unless I wash your feet, you have no part in my kingdom. Unless you earn the spirit of humility, unless you become a servant unto all, you don't grasp the heart of the gospel." Viktor Frankl, one of the eminent psychologists of the 20th century, survivor of the concentration camps, receives a call at midnight from a woman who says, "This is my last conversation. I'm about to take my life." And Frankl starts talking to her, trying to reason with her, trying to get her to delay this action. And finally, after 2 hours, she agrees to come in the morning, and he hangs up and goes to sleep wondering if she'll actually be alive. Next morning at the appointed hour, the woman shows up. And Frankl can't help out of curiosity but ask the question, "What did I say that caused you not to take your life?" And she said, "It wasn't anything you said, but the fact that someone like you would spend 2 hours talking to someone like me. Let me know that not all is lost." Our Lord Jesus Christ has invested in us a lot more than 2 hours. He has invested in us to the point of pouring himself out on the cross. And he says unto us, come to me. Come, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come be God molded. Because the God molded people will conquer. The God molded people will prevail. They have the patience, the strength, the endurance, and the love. The God molded people shall inherit the earth. May we pray together. Lord, may we truly be God molded. May we be completely submissive to your will. May we be answerable to your call. And may we pour ourselves out, understanding that that's the only way we can receive. May we fill your Spirit, giving us strength and peace and wisdom and purpose. Through our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.